It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, TaylorSwift13.org. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 33 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam,
Belle,
Diane,
and Haley.
And Maya can't be with us. She's like really, really sick right now.
Yeah, she's sick right now.
So I suggest everybody that loves Maya goes and tweets her at MayaEla15 and go say, get better soon, Maya. Send her a get well card via Twitter.
Yes, make cute little get well cards for her. It'll make her happy, and her being happy will make her not sick somehow.
Maybe, possibly. But anyway.
A good attitude helps.
A few hours ago, Taylor released a new single. So you guys all know what that means, right? Special edition
of Taylor Talk?
Special edition Taylor Talk. But before we do that, let's get through some of our regular segments really quick. As you guys should already know, every single Monday until Red releases, which is only one more Monday after today, Taylor is going to be previewing a new single off of the Red album on Good Morning America, and then releasing them Tuesday morning at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time. Which they keep coming out earlier than that, about an hour or so. So
look, I know, it's awesome. It's like a happy surprise.
It's not even a surprise anymore, though. This is the third time in a row that happened.
I don't care. I'm looking at it like it's a surprise because it makes me happy.
That's okay. So be on the lookout for the fourth and final single before the actual Red release this upcoming Monday. So we got on October 14th, Taylor Swift is going to be performing on X Factor UK, or rather she already did the performance. It's going to be airing on October 14th, so be on the lookout for that. And Haley's going to finish off the rest of the calendar for us.
Well, in 12 days and 22 hours, 12 minutes and now 50 seconds, Red comes out.
That was precise. Oh,
quite the countdown you have going there, Haley.
The countdown is actually on taylorswift.com, so if you want to know down to the second, go there.
Sweet!
And then on October 24th, the Scholastics Read Every Day webcast is featuring Taylor Swift at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. So you have to be a teacher to register at it. So be sure to tell your teacher to go to scholastic.com and register. And you can register up to 2 hours before the webcast.
Sweet. Thanks for that, Haley. So, Belle, give us the news.
Taylor is set to perform at the 2012 MTV EMAs, and she has 5 nominations. That is so cool. I love it when she has all these nominations. It makes me so happy. She's up for Best Female, Best Pop, Best Look, Best Live, and Best World Stage.
Booyah!
So I think everyone should vote and get her these awards.
Is this a voting one?
I don't know what everybody else thinks, but that's what I think.
Do you have to be... Like, okay, do you have to be European to vote in the EMAs, or can you vote anywhere? Do you know?
I don't think so, because, I mean, you know, everybody that wasn't even from America was voting for, like, the Teen Choice Awards and everything.
So if someone can let us know that, just shoot us a tweet or an email or something.
Yeah, if you happen to know for sure, let us know. Yeah, definitely. Also, Taylor Swift donates to the Horace Mann School for the Deaf. In case you guys didn't know, they were basically really high up there on that contest that Taylor was doing to perform at a school. They did not win the contest, but she donated $50,000 to the K-12 school for a Save the Music fund. And she's also giving every student a ticket to her next vocal concert.
Sweet.
So that's really, really cool for them. Yay.
That's really exciting.
That is exciting.
Thanks for that, Belle.
And also in the news, Taylor is set to appear in New York City as part of SiriusXM's program called Town Hall Series. And this is going to be happening the same day that Red releases, Monday, October 22nd. And basically what is going to happen is it's going to be a live question and answer session with Taylor. And it's going to be hosted in front of an audience. And if you'd like to be part of the audience, you can enter the sweepstakes at SiriusXM's website, which is www.siriusxm.com/Taylor Swift Town Hall. So I would go into that if I were you.
We'll put the link on the episode guide, right?
Yes.
Of course.
In other fun news, Taylor was interviewed on the Jonathan Ross Show, which is a British talk show. I don't know if you guys watched the interview, but I thought
hilarious.
It was really funny.
I did. Hilarious.
So cool. And finally, The track list for Red has been revealed.
Say Yay. What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yes! I was so
no
excited.
No more guessing.
Should we tell everyone what's on it?
I think we should.
I guess okay. we can be nice and do that.
First track is... State of Grace.
Second track is Red, which we've already heard.
Third track is Treacherous.
And the fourth track is the one that actually came out tonight, is I Knew You Were Trouble.
Fifth, All Too Well.
Number six is 22.
Number seven, I Almost Do.
We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is number eight.
Number nine is Stay, Stay, Stay. Apparently Taylor treats her ex-boyfriends like dogs.
Number 10 is The Last Time.
Number 11 is Holy Ground.
Number 12 is Sad, Beautiful, Tragic.
13 is The Lucky One.
14 is Everything Has Changed.
15 is Starlight.
And 16 is Begin Again.
Now we don't have the tracks for the bonus content, right? For the Target? Mm-hmm.
No, we don't know that yet.
Not officially.
Okay. We don't know those yet. Mm-hmm. So we're not gonna dwell on this track list. We're gonna get to right to the song discussion for you guys, but we have to say one thing. 13, The Lucky One.
So I think that was a movie that came out recently with this guy in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good. A guy that she might perhaps know.
So maybe that could be a reference.
I thought The Lucky One was about me, but that's okay.
Oh, Adam, every time we come on the show.
All right. Now, before we get going with the song discussion for I Knew You Were Trouble, just to explain and reiterate once again, because of the nature of these special edition episodes, we got to keep them a little bit shorter than a traditional episode. So the mini segments are not getting lost. They're just not being used here. We're doing a special project for you guys that Belle is working on right now. And it'll come out
right
same day as Red, which, if we're releasing something the same day as Red, who do you think's going to get more attention, us or Red?
Us.
Kind of think Taylor's going to get more attention off of that one.
That's fine, but at least okay. It'll be there for you guys once the Red hype dies down. It'll still be sitting there with all of your mini segments in their full glory, so keep submitting those. They are not getting lost. We're using them. Carrying right along, we are going to get to our new song discussion. I Knew You Were Trouble. This is going to be an interesting discussion. That's all I'm going to start it with.
I think it will be interesting, too.
This is going to be interesting.
Now, we don't talk about our impressions of the songs before we record, so I have no idea what you guys thought of it. So I'm actually kind of scared to say my opinion.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the dubstep song we heard so much about. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe
Although,
so.
Although a DJ, Dr. Luke, basically calls it like a mix of country and dubstep, aka countstep. Which is a new interesting way to put it.
I don't hear country in it. Interesting because iTunes classifies it as country. This is not a country song.
At all.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the only thing you could argue about it being country is like, at the very beginning, there's a guitar. And there's a guitar in country music, usually. That's like the only argument I think you can make.
I felt it was more like R&B-ish.
You know, I've seen a few people complaining about Taylor's stray from the traditional country genre. And all I have to say is, like, if you listen to this song, forget what genre it is. It's an amazing song. And so are her other songs, whether they're traditional country or more poppy or whatever else. Like, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together has been number one on iTunes for how long?
Forever. But my getup
is
not...
It's not number one anymore.
Whatever. It's close. It's in the top 10, I'm sure, still.
Right.
Yeah.
But my hang-up is not that it's not country. It's that, like, who am I listening to? Taylor Swift or Britney Spears?
What?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I was listening to the whole thing, and I was thinking Britney Spears the whole time.
I was thinking more like Selena Gomez or something more poppy. I didn't have the same problem that Adam did, but I didn't have as positive a reaction as you and Haley seem to have had. You being
well, it took me a couple times to actually really start to like the song. I had to listen to it at least like 4 times.
Forgetting everything else about the song, I'm obsessed with the lyrics. The lyrics are, it's like chopping down a tree. The lyrics are chopping down a tree.
Well, this is what's interesting for me before I get completely hated by everybody listening right now.
It's okay, Adam. I'm going to be there with you.
You're going to be there with me? Yeah. I'm actually glad we're split down the middle. Diane and I don't like it. Belle and Haley do. We can have a nice little debate going. But I have to say, I did like the verses. It is the chorus that threw me off. Like, I'm sorry, did I hear auto-tuning to Taylor Swift's voice? Her voice is too perfect. Do not auto-tune that. Seriously?
That's funny, because I felt the opposite. I loved the chorus. I did not like the verses.
You like the auto-tune?
Not that. I just really liked the beat for the chorus. And for the verses, like, musically, it felt all over the place to me. And kind of chaotic. And I know she was going for, you know, kind of a crazy feeling. But it was, like, crazy to me in a bad way. Like, it was uncontrolled and not organized. And
can I mention one thing to you guys?
Yeah.
Taylor herself said it was her favorite.
This song?
Well, yes. Good.
When did
her.
She say that?
She said it. She tweeted it today. She said it's one of her faves with lots of S's.
One of her faves.
And she says in the video that she did for GMA.
That it is her favorite or one of her favorites?
One of.
Okay. That makes a big difference. But again, I don't have to agree with Taylor on everything. This song... out of the four songs we've gotten so far, We Are Never Getting Back Together, Begin Again, Red, and this one, this is number four on my list.
I can agree with you with that.
I actually don't.
Okay, Belle, why don't you tell us why you like it?
I think she was going for a very specific feel and setup, and I think that she achieved it. And I don't know, I guess the way I look at songs isn't necessarily always what is my personal preference, is did the song achieve what it was supposed to achieve.
Right.
And I think it the way that I, like I said a few minutes ago, that I said in my opinion the lyrics were like chopping down a tree, and what I mean by that is like every stroke is precise and it's all leading to one final timber.
I'm sorry, can I point something out though, Belle? You just were saying you're like, you basically were telling me you're looking at it from a neutral standpoint, that you're saying...
No, it's not a neutral standpoint.
I'm not neutral at all.
That's
you specifically, just how I judge you specifically just said, though, you're like, I don't look at it but from what is my preference, but rather did it accomplish its goal or something to that effect. That's what you said. But by not looking at it by what is your preference, you can't really say whether or not you liked it. I mean, what is your preference? I'm saying
my preference is not this.
I'm not saying this is a bad song. I'm not saying it's not going to be popular. I'm saying I don't like it.
But I do.
Okay.
The songs that
okay,
I don't
why,
like,
why do you
like
it?
When I don't like a song, I feel like it doesn't achieve its goal. To me, it's like, if I don't like a song, it's because I feel like it doesn't achieve its goal. It's like running a race and stopping 10 feet before the finish line. When I like a song, it's because I feel like it hit a very precise... Like, I don't have a preference as far as genre or anything like that. My preference when it comes to music is it hard-hitting? Does it affect you? Does it achieve its goal? Like, that is what my preference is, literally.
That's possible, but at the same time, I feel like this is shaping up to be the most bizarre album I've ever heard.
I love it, because I think that it represents very specific things about Taylor that she is trying to express, and I think it's... But from what I've heard of the album so far with these few songs, I feel like it's probably going to really, really do its job.
Okay, this is my problem with it, though, Belle, is you're saying it represents Taylor and things like that. My counter to that argument is that We Are Never Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Trouble were collaborations with Max Martin and Johann Schellback. The other two, Begin Again and Red, were written exclusively by Taylor. Right off the bat, first time I heard any of the songs, I could tell which was a collaboration and which was Taylor. So how much does this really represent Taylor when it's really, like, I feel like it's pulling too much of these co-writers into it, because you can definitely tell the difference.
I agree with you that you can definitely tell the difference. Here's another thing I'm going to say. Taylor has always mentioned that she is a fan of Britney Spears. Max Martin wrote, you know, was involved with Britney Spears and did, you know, her music and everything. And I think part of Taylor being Taylor is, you know, yes, she's writing these songs alone, but also when you're collaborating with somebody, you're trying to almost like pay homage to something that inspired you, which is still a part of you. So
right,
yeah,
I fully
agree with you that there is a difference between the songs that she has collaborated with people on and the songs that she's written alone, but I don't think that makes it less her. I think that makes it a different part of her that she is trying to communicate and express.
Right, but okay, my problem with this song is that it sounds very mainstream and it sounds very, like, radio friendly, and which is fine, and that's what makes money. But I mean, like, most of Taylor's songs seem to, like, stand apart from that in my head in a way. Like, they almost seem above that, and this just seems like it's like, oh, well, this is what people like, so
it's forgettable.
Right, yeah, it's just like it blends in with everything else. That's my
like I could hear this song playing in a nightclub.
Yeah,
exactly what I was thinking.
Which I guess that's what dubstep is, isn't it? Nightclub music.
Yeah, it's
yeah, basically.
Okay, so I mean, I guess it does serve its purpose, but it's definitely not my favorite of Taylor's songs.
I don't know. I know there's a lot of people that tend to like a very specific songwriting style and creation of Taylor's, and I guess I'm just one of those people that I will pretty much like everything that she puts out, just because I think that no matter what it is, you can still feel some personal goal to it. Like, that is why I like her so much as an artist and as a songwriter, is because there's always some personal goal she's trying to achieve with her songwriting, and I don't think I've ever heard a song that I felt didn't achieve a goal with her.
Maybe
that's
so.
Just my personal take.
So let's break down some of the lyrics then. Like, what is the song about? What do we think it's about?
I think it's about a kind of a one-sided relationship where you think that, you know, this guy is going to be nice to you, but you kind of have this feeling like, well, maybe he's actually trouble. Maybe he's, you know, not that cool, but I'm going to try it. And then it backfires in your face and you're like, oh, I should have seen that coming.
You know, I'm questioning as to whether or not the male character in this story cheated on Taylor. There's one particular line that says...
It seems like he used her.
Well, there's one particular line in it that says, you never loved me or her or anyone.
Yeah.
Oh, I see your point.
That sounds like a cheater's line, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's a reference to somebody else.
Yeah, there's like another character in this story. So that's one thing I'll give Taylor. Even though I don't necessarily like this song, the lyrics are still every bit as complex as any of her other songs.
I would argue that some of them aren't, though.
Some of them aren't, but there are definitely lyrics in here.
There are
ones
that are really good. Yeah, that one was awesome. That's my favorite lyric in the song.
There are some lyrics in here that I literally just am sitting here staring at and contemplating in my head, and then I was doing the same thing when I was listening to the song on repeat earlier. They're really, really hitting and very... expositional.
Right, okay, but I have a question about one of the lyrics in the first verse. It's the fourth one. I guess you didn't care, and I guess I liked that. To me, that's too vague.
I don't think it is at all.
You don't think so? Okay, explain.
No. No, because, I mean, the way that I interpreted it, at least, that is literally my favorite lyric of the entire song.
Oh.
Because I think that explains a very, unbalanced relationship. It's almost like, I'll have to admit a personal thing about myself in order to say this, is I've been in a couple of not so great relationships, obviously, and I can relate. Like, that lyric right there, it's like, you know, when you date a guy and your friends don't like him and your family doesn't like him and everyone's like, dude, this guy is not a good person, like, he's not, you know, I don't know what you think you're doing, you're not going to change somebody like that. And it's almost like you get some kind of weird, like, if they act like they don't care, you know, 6 days out of the week, and then they do something nice for you that seventh day, that you become, like, obsessed with that seventh day. And so it's almost like every time that they're jerked to you, it, like, almost makes you like them more. And I know that's extremely messed up, but it's just, it is a real phenomenon in unhealthy relationships.
That's actually what I was thinking. That's absolutely true. You do see that a lot where... females tend to be attracted to males who treat them poorly, and I don't understand what the reason is. It goes along with the whole nice guys finish last concept. Girls want the bad boy.
I think it's because I know that this is really messed up, but when they treat you badly, then that one time they treat you good, it's like so good.
Well, that's
because
you
because
have
it was
to
so
compare
bad.
It. Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, that was really cool. He's such a nice guy. And,
which is
and if
interesting.
They're nice to you all the time, then it kind of gets dull. And you're like, okay, well, whatever. He just, you know, always opens the door for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I think you guys just found the link to Begin Again, though, from this song.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That was the link to Begin Again, because it was talking about how all of a sudden little things seemed so amazing to her in Begin Again.
Yeah.
Right.
That is and this precisely is, this here, this song is the experience that made Begin Again experience so special.
It's incredibly true, and I've, like, been there with people before, where it's just you get so used to being treated so crappy, and then when somebody is nice, or even when that same person that treats you crappy is incredibly nice, it just seems like the biggest deal ever. Or somebody else would be like, yeah, and? You're just like, no, you don't understand. He pulled out my chair. Mm-hmm. And somebody else would be like, okay, like, wow. But I don't know, like, that one line to me tells the story of this entire song.
All right, well, you kind of made me see that more and appreciate it more. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I can definitely appreciate the lyrics in this song. I just don't like it musically.
I just don't like statement. The music in the verses compared to the music in the chorus. Because to me, the verses are so intense and it feels like they're trying to build to something. And then the chorus is quiet. And it's kind of like this letdown for me.
Like, but see, here's the thing, though, is to me, that's like a representation of the relationship. There are these, like, moments where everything is ridiculous and stormy and intense, and then there's these moments that are completely anticlimactic. Like,
maybe
to me, like,
point,
the music...
it is anticlimactic in a way. Like, you expect something really big to happen, then you're just like, oh, it's quiet. So, yeah, I can see that happening. But, okay,
I don't know. I guess now that I more than think about it, like, to me, the entire song seems very calculated. Which is good. I just feel like the lyrics and the way that the whole thing goes musically is all supposed to make you put you in this shoes, both emotionally and, you know, through the lyrics and through the sounds you're experiencing. It's supposed to put you emotionally where she was writing this song. And I think that this is what I'm talking about a song hitting its point. Forget the style of music you might like for a second and just think about the fact that, like, this is a very intense song, and the music is very intense, but also at points anticlimactic. The lyrics are very, almost disturbing, in a way. And I think it's supposed to really make you, kind of hit you in the face with this reality of where she was writing the song and what she was trying to do with it, and I just think it hit the nail on the head.
Alright, well that's good. Speaking of, I guess, words and grammar and stuff in this song, Did you guys notice that there's a period at the end of the song title?
Yes.
I knew your trouble period. Thanks for Maya for putting that in the show notes. She's sick, but she still managed to contribute.
We love you, Maya.
We heart you, Maya.
Miss you. Hope you're back next week. Feel better. But yeah, there is a period at the end of I Knew You Were Trouble, which is strange. I've never seen a song with a period at the end of the title.
I'm very curious I want to hear her talk about that, because that's something that I can't quite figure out in my head. Only guesstimate that I could possibly make is just, this was like the conclusion of this, of all that stuff in her head. It was just like, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm confused, I don't know how to feel, I'm writing all this down, but it's like being in the middle of a storm, and this is the last of it. That's the only explanation I can think of, but I could be 100% wrong.
No, I think you're kind of onto something, because it kind of ties in with part of the lyrics. It says, no apologies, he'll never see you cry, pretend he doesn't know that he's the reason why. Like,
that's my second favorite lyric.
She's like, over it. That's my favorite lyric, just because I've had so many of the bad relationships that I'm like, you know what? Don't let him see how much this is getting to you. And it's kind of like a pep talk. And I often do that to myself.
So, going back to the period, Diane, you spoke with Maya before the show. What did she say about it?
She said that, and I quote, I was thinking it might have something to do with, like, how suddenly the relationship ended and the finality of it. So it was basically what Belle was saying, just how it's just, like, it's completely over, and the period marks that.
Huh. Thanks, Maya.
I really hope someone asks Taylor this in an interview or something.
Asks her what? About the period.
About the period.
Yeah.
So I want to know what she has to say. Like, I want to know if we're onto something or not.
I'd like to say that's why I think Taylor needs to come on Taylor Talk, because we're the only people that could possibly interview her and really go that in depth. Do you think anybody else
is
going to notice
true.
That?
That is a great point.
That nobody is going to notice that. Except for, like, fans.
Yeah. Although, I don't want to bash this song in front of, well, not bash it, you know, criticize it in front of her, because that'd be awkward.
Hey, you know what? If she heard what I have to say about this song, Mean Part 2 would be about me.
And me.
So I'm going to revise one thing that I said. Adam, you were trying to tell me that earlier, you know, that I wasn't giving like a personal enough opinion about the song, that I was looking at it from a more stand backish point of view.
Well, that's what you had said. You said you like to look at a song as if it accomplished its goal rather than from a personal perspective.
Let me say one thing though. Upon thinking about it further, the reason that I like the song most, and in addition to what I said before, which is 100% true about the fact that it achieved its goal, is that it's very powerful. And it just takes me to this place of being able to experience these, like, powerful emotions. And I think, like, a lot of songs make me think, but a song like this makes me feel more.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. I'll respect your opinion on that. Which I don't do often. But I will this time.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
You know what? I'd like to speak for a moment, if you guys don't have any other thoughts on that, about kind of looking at all four singles as a whole now.
Wait,
where she's...
I do have one more comment, or just another question to ask.
Okay, Diane.
Sorry. So we always ask this question about every song that we talk about, but who do we think this song is about? Or do we have enough information to make a judgment?
That is actually, I don't think it's nearly as straightforward as some of the other ones have been, where our guesses have been kind of, like, easier to make.
There is only one line, which for me tips it to John Mayer. First line, once upon a time, like Story of Us.
Good observation.
Yes.
Why?
Because, I mean, okay, if you think that Story of Us is about John Mayer, you start stories usually with the phrase once upon a time. And then she said a few mistakes ago. So maybe it's like a few guys ago, kind of. Like a few guys that she dated and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Good point. It's kind of like a looking back and like closing the door on that whole experience in her head and in her heart.
Right, yeah.
Which could also contribute to the period.
Hmm. Good. I like the way you tied that.
That's a great observation, Diane. And like, she says, I knew you were, the title itself, I knew you were trouble. That would make sense right off the bat because John Mayer is that bad boy. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he's known as a player.
Oh, yeah.
He gets a lot of ladies.
Which makes a lot of sense with that line in the bridge. And the satisfier comes creeping in that you never loved me or her or anyone or anything.
Yeah.
That sounds like a player.
That's a line we were talking about earlier. You're right.
I know, yeah.
And it also clicks with Dear John as well, where everybody around her was telling her he's trouble. So it's like she knew he was trouble, but went with it anyway. Yeah, no?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree.
So that is a great observation, Diane. I don't really have a counter-argument. I mean, the only counter-argument we could come up with, I think Belle presented it in one of the past couple weeks, the fact that supposedly this album is about one relationship in its entirety, which again would point it back to Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's true. So it could be about either, but it is about a guy.
And also talking several times about flew me to places I've never been. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Jake Gyllenhaal and Taylor traveled a lot together.
He did. That's true.
That's true. That's true too.
That was actually the first thing I thought when I heard that line. First time I heard the song, talk about flew me to places I've never been. I was thinking immediately Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, well now I'm confused. You just threw me off my theory.
Maybe Taylor just combined multiple relationships in here.
If she did, that is awesome.
Yeah, like it's kind of, it's unique. It's different than anything she's ever done. Drawing inspiration from multiple scenarios, but now that we got that out of the way, Diane.
Sorry, I wanted to talk about
it. I'm kidding. No, you had an extremely valid point. I'm really glad you brought that up. But I do want to take a chance to look at all four songs as a whole now. We already linked this one to Begin Again earlier in this discussion. But one of the things I have observed as I've been listening to the other three songs over and over, and now this one, is how much she has grown lyrically since the earlier albums. Like, I think the lyrics have become so much more complex, and Diane and I, we were just talking about this the other day, in fact. What was the line I was talking about the other day, Diane, in Red? I don't even remember.
I don't either.
It was just something, how she comes up with these really complex ways of saying things.
Oh, and it was the remembering someone line. The one about forgetting him is trying to know someone you never met. It was that one.
Yeah. What was it again?
forgetting him is like trying to know someone you never met. I think that's right. It. Is that right?
No, that's exactly it. That's the one we were talking about, because all she's saying is forgetting him's impossible, which we talked about in the Red Special Edition, right? When I think like 16-year-old Taylor would have had a line saying forgetting him was impossible. Does anyone else agree with that?
But I mean, I do see and agree with what you're saying. I mean, her lyrics have definitely grown a lot. And I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some songs on her first album that I love lyrically, like Cold as You.
Oh, that's a great one.
But I don't think any of them were nearly as complex as that line.
Well, I mean, that's part of growing up, you know? Yeah. Your emotions become more complex. Your experiences become more complex.
But I really like it. Like, she comes up with really unique ways to say things. Like, one of the lyrics in I Knew You Were Trouble is saying, a notch in your belt is all I'll ever be. And I don't know, that line, when I was just reading through it as a poem rather than listening to the song, kind of jumped out at me, because that's a really interesting way to sum up whoever this male character is. It sums up their entire personality in one line. Like, you know exactly who that person is.
Yeah.
Just by one line.
Yeah, exactly. It just shows that, like, to him, Taylor was just another girl.
So, do you guys have any opinions on how these songs are linked together?
I love how they're not linear.
What do you mean?
Like, Begin Again is sort of, you know, it's the end of the last song on the track list. It's very conclusive. It's just like, I'm ready to just put all this down. I'm ready to move on. And that was the second single that she released was like the last conclusion of the album.
So you're just saying they're being released out of order? Is that what you're referring to?
Out of order, yeah. Out of order of her journey.
So do you think the track list is in order of her life, basically, and how these events occurred?
I was thinking that it could be.
I think either there's one of two possibilities. Either it's in order of her life, or it's in order of her emotions, which might not be the same thing as her experiences.
Okay.
What if she kind of did, like, kind of, like, put Begin Again at the end to make you want to begin the album over again?
Kind of like going back, our song was the last on her first album.
Yeah, going back to Play It Again. Begin Again. Okay, I'm done singing. No. Everyone always yells at me for that.
Goober.
What?
I said goober.
Goober.
I really like how she's experimenting with just different types of music.
I do too.
I know. People bash her for not staying country. I just kind of like it. I like that she's trying to see what fits her and grow as a person and an artist.
Well, again, I don't bash her for not staying country, but I don't like this particular genre.
Oh, I don't either. I don't like dubstep at all, but
and as a result, this song was,
but it did take me a little bit.
Yeah, as a result, this song was just not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to take some time for this song to grow on me, but I always like Taylor's song, so I feel like one day I'm going to like it, but that day's not today.
I actually agree with you, Diane.
Thank you.
Because there are songs of Taylor's in the past that have grown on me. Actually, Haunted was one of those I didn't actually like at first, and then I really,
that is
really
literally my favorite song on that entire album.
Yeah, well, that's just one example of one that had to grow on me, but it did, in fact, grow on me. So maybe this one will as well.
We will wait and see.
So, I guess that concludes it for our special edition for I Knew You Were Trouble, Taylor's latest single off her new album Red, due out on October 22nd. For episode 33, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Diane,
and Haley
saying have a great day, guys. We will see you next week for the final single before the album comes out.
Awesome! Woo!
Yay!
What up? See y'all later.
Bye. Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.